Let us pray. Eternal God, who has taken costly action in our behalf, restore our souls and give us grateful hearts for thy goodness. We pray for the astronauts and for all who are exposed to great peril at this moment. Enable us to use effectively the opportunity to study on this campus. Give us discernment to select the right books, to read them carefully, and to evaluate honestly the knowledge and wisdom set forth in them. Keep us sensitive, our Father, to the needs of our neighbors near and far, and make us good ministers of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We shall read the first paragraph of the third chapter of the first letter of John. See what love the Father hath given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. I want to talk about imagination in the process of growth. The identification of Christian believers as children of God is a major motif in the interpretation of life recorded in the first letter of John. We are children of God here and now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. The future is open. It is open to each of us. It is open to this school. It is open to the Christian enterprise on earth. And our intellectual and spiritual growth depends not only upon heredity and culture, but also upon the wisdom of our personal decisions, the quality of our interpersonal relations, and the depth of our faith in God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. This is a fact about each one of us today. In a recent study, William F. Lynch draws attention to the role of imagination in the process of growth toward Christian maturity. He thinks of the human imagination not as fantasy. But as the power of human perception. And he describes two ways in which creative and realistic imagination is valuable to a child of God. In spite of all that is said and written about creativity and innovation, there is too little evidence of realistic Christian imagination at this moment. We do well, therefore, I think, to see what this thinker, Mr. Lynch, has to say about the role of realistic imagination in personal growth toward Christian maturity. In the first place, imagination helps a Christian thinker to cut through fantasy, distortion of truth, half-truth, and lies, and to recognize and accept the bare fact. The bare fact is often obscured by self-interest, rationalization, and inability to cope with reality. Mr. Lynch thinks that the highest test of a civilization is its sense of fact, and that the path to freedom and fulfillment of a child of God is opened by the willingness and by the strong desire to see clearly what he calls the bare fact. In many instances, the vision of the bare fact is painful. But this pain is productive. In the second place, the human imagination discovers perspectives in which facts may be interpreted and directs a person toward reality. The structures of reality on a theological campus are definite but expansive. In their simplest form, they include a room, a hallway, a building, a campus, a community, a county, a state, a nation, a world. These structures are definite. Perhaps it is not too much to assume that each one of us has a clear vision of these simplest structures of reality. We have a clear vision of a room in which we work and pray, of a building which is an instrument of our scholarship. A campus as a whole on which many people live and work. A dynamic relation of a campus to a community. An interrelation of a community to a country, and the place of a country in the world. It seems a little more difficult to entertain with true hospitality the idea of the world, but it is a definite structure. and we can have easily a vision of the world. On a much deeper level, the structures of reality include an individual as a member of a family related to a fellowship which is informed by the mind of Christ. Imagination is involved in the creative effort to understand a person, not primarily as a unit in a technical society, but as a child of God in a community of faith. This understanding delivers a person from preoccupation with a difficulty, which may be misinterpreted not as a part, but as the whole of life. Imagination enables an individual to see the difficulty, whatever it is, in perspective. To understand that it is a part and not the whole of human existence. To realize that there are honorable ways to deal with the difficulty, and to discover that there are competent and compassionate persons who are ready to help an individual in and through a difficulty. It is much easier to talk about deliverance from preoccupation with a difficulty than it is to live through a difficulty. It is not easy for any one of us to take a difficulty, whether it is the difficulty involved in paying income tax on April 15, or the difficulty involved in an academic failure at some point, or an illness, or a moral collapse. It is not easy to take any difficulty, to see its parts, to deal with its manageable aspects, maybe only one or two at a time, with patience to wait for the process of solution, to accept help from people who have the compassion and the competence to help us. But this is the way imagination functions in Christian thought in relation to the solution of a problem. And I think that difficulty emerges at the point at which an individual assumes that the problem cannot be solved or transcended or assimilated in the Christian life. And it is precisely at this point that creative, realistic Christian imagination comes to the assistance of the human mind and enables a person to discover resources which he did not know were present. It does not yet appear what we shall be, The process of growth toward maturity includes wise decisions, friendly interpersonal relations, creative imagination, and personal commitment to the living God, whose grace and truth are revealed in Jesus Christ. He is our Father. We are His children. We are imperfect children. Some of us are impaired children, but we are actually children. And there are tremendous potentialities for growth and for greatness in the children of God. Let us pray. Our Father, deliver us from the temptation to absolutize the difficulties with which we are confronted and to be overwhelmed by them. Mercifully grant unto us clarity of mind, openness to truth, sincerity of commitment as we live together as thy children, and in all that we undertake to be and to do, help us to remember that we are thy children here and now through Jesus Christ our Lord.